Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio Network. Tonight, our show is Whistleblowers, and we're going to be looking at the Veterans Administration again with a person who's been on with us many times, Sean Higgins. He'll be coming on in just a moment here. But just to kind of lay the groundwork for what is going on, John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, has come out with a piece today about our veterans and the state of affairs for him. And I want to read an excerpt from his piece. And he says, despite the fact that the U.S. boasts more than 20 million veterans who have served in World War II through the present day, the plight of veterans today has become America's badge of shame, with large numbers of veterans impoverished, unemployed, traumatized, mentally and physically struggling with depression, suicide, marital stress, homelessness, subjected to subpar treatment at clinics and hospitals, and left to molder while their paperwork piles up within Veterans Administration's offices. According to a recent report by the Department of Veterans Affairs, at least 60,000 veterans, and get that number, 60,000 veterans died by suicide between 2008 and 2017. On average, 6,000 veterans kill themselves every year, and the numbers are on the rise. Many of these, as we have stated in other programs, are veterans that they have literally drugged to death to reduce the numbers. They give them these psychotropic drugs in elephant doses in combinations that are never supposed to happen, advise them to take those drugs before they go to bed. Every one of them says not to take within 4 hours of bedtime. Their heart stops in the middle of the night as a result, and they say, oh, they committed suicide. And many of the veterans do commit suicide. A lot of that suicide has to do with, like recently we've had at least three veterans that I know of have committed suicide in the parking lots of the VA hospital. So it's just, this is just what we're looking at. Sean, okay, Sean, you're on with me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we had scheduled for tonight.
Oh, okay. I'm here.
Okay. All right, John, yeah. I probably messed up, I'll tell you what. But I know we had scheduled for tonight, and so I just wanted to get to make sure I got you in.
Okay.
Good heavens. It's probably something I did, Sean. You just don't know. I'm dealing with about 60 people all the time at any minute of the day. But Sean, this report just came out. Now, you have been one of the lead whistleblowers on the malfunction, dysfunction, the fraud, abuse, waste, the unsanitary conditions, the threats to the veterans' health. More than anyone else, you have been out there sounding the alarm. Can you give us some idea of where we're at on this now, if anywhere?
Well, it's like I keep telling everybody. It's everything that's coming out is everything that we told everyone it was going to be.
Yeah.
Michael Volpe and I and several other whistleblowers, when they first came out with this new Office of Whistleblower Accountability. Now, mind you, right before the 30 minutes to an hour before the president signed the new Accountability Act, I was terminated. And the secretary used one of my disclosures as the reason for getting this new law.
Oh, wow.
So the president signs this new law they're saying, hey, we're going to protect whistleblowers, which, you know, kind of crazy to me. When you're hearing what's going on now, he's saying, hey, you know, out the whistleblower. So I don't know where that's going, but anyway, back to the subject at hand. So I'm terminated 30 minutes to an hour before the president signs this this new bill. And Michael Volpe does the story. I will say maybe a day or two, but probably the day of the day of the signing of the bill. And he says he points out that. That I was terminated, and that this was right before, you know, right before the president signs the bill, and then this new Office of Whistleblower Accountability Office gets created, saying that, hey, you know, we're gonna protect whistleblowers, and Michael Volpe again does another story with several of us whistleblowers, myself, Jay D'Onofrio, a couple other people. And basically what we were saying was, hey, you know, this is a great idea. If this, in fact, is going to work, but, you know, I hope that they're not just creating this office to do bad, to target whistleblowers. Yeah. And it turned out from this new report that everything that I said that they were going to do is what they did. They targeted new office instead of this new office, instead of helping whistleblowers. They actually targeted whistleblowers. And it's documented well, you know, throughout it. And it can be traced all the way back to Pete O'Rourke, who was a political operative, who became secretary of the VA, who Brandon Coleman was close to, who was close to the president, who came from the Mar-a-Lago group. Politico did a story on it. There's several stories that were done on it.
Yeah.
And I guess we may find out about it, we may not. But all of these investigations, and we now finding out that, hey, everything I said and others said, they did. But no one said, what are they going to do about it? No one, I'm not seeing one person go to jail. I'm not seeing one person have to return salary back. None of that. So, what was the point behind doing this investigation to tell you what we already knew they were doing?
Yeah. Well, Sean, they do this thing of having like these hotlines and everything else, and protection for whistleblowers. We see this also, like in the Forest Service, they set up a hotline, call in if you know something, and all they're doing is assembling a list of people they're going to target. They're not interested in what happened to you. They're not interested in anything you observed. They're interested in shutting your mouth. And the retaliation begins immediately, and it's unrelenting. I think one of the most bizarre things in all of this, Sean, is that even after you leave the agency, they still keep coming after you. It's like a vendetta, the likes of which I've never seen. There is no money they won't spend. There is nothing they will not do. And they'll continue to do as long as they can locate you to prevent you from getting employment, to mess up your life in any possible way that they can. And this thing, and you brought up something very salient here. Even in across all these agencies, as I hear these stories, and people, like just like with you, you have bona fide, verified whistleblowing examples. Yet nobody loses their job, is penalized monetarily, like having any of their pay withheld. Nobody is sanctioned. Nobody is put on, you know, probation. Nobody goes to jail. They all come after you. And I just can't see how this is. And I still find it appalling that in federal agencies, we have to have offices of equal employment opportunity. We have to have offices of civil rights. We have to have all of these interior offices to try and make that agency operate. Go ahead.
Let me give you an example of how corrupt the VA is. The VA is so corrupt. It has its own Office of Resolution Management. And what this Office of Resolution Management is they do investigations on EEOs, on equal employment opportunity cases. So they have their own branch. They're the only branch of the government that has their own EEO office. And that's all they do is sell their own. Now, if that ain't the funniest thing I've ever heard of, the police policing themselves. You got an office created within the agency to police the agency. And we're supposed to trust that.
That's what I'm saying. This is absolutely ludicrous. And it's like we're being forced to pay for more agencies to watch another agency, and now you have to have a third agency to watch those two agencies because nobody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. Now, Sean, I have a theory about all of this. And, you know, in private business, if you operated at this level of dysfunction and fraud and waste and abuse and failing to provide promised services and services you're getting paid for, they'd land all over you and put you out of business in a heartbeat. And yet this VA across the board is allowed to operate at such a low level of competency, if there's any at all. And my thinking is they're allowing it, actually encouraging it to, so they can privatize it. And once it is privatized, if you think your care is not good now, where do you get a load of this? And because it will be a private corporate entity that will run this, now you won't be able to get any information, even under FOIA, because they'll claim proprietary rights and trade secrets, and you can't know any of that, even if your name is on it. This is, to me, is a big setup happening. I can't look at this and think, well, they're trying to do the right thing, because at no level are they trying to do the right thing. It's like they're encouraging, you know, this to be this mess that it is, and the billions of dollars that are squandered. When we talked before, go ahead.
The budget is $300 billion.
Jesus. And we got veterans in the street. Really.
$300 billion.
I'm trying to get my head.
I have to give the president credit. He throw more money at the problem than any other president. We can give him that.
but none of it is money, only
so his buddies can go out there and take it.
Exactly, there you go. And exactly, like I said, wasn't none of his money. And this is it. There's a lot of people profiting from this. This I think is just so disgraceful, I can't believe it. I just am trying to figure out when the public is going to get a clue that nothing runs like this that isn't intentional. These are not just mistakes people are making or misunderstandings or didn't really understand what I was. This is not what's going on here. This is a wholesale plundering of the VA and its funding while the veterans are left to twist in the wind. And I think John Whitehead is absolutely right. It's a badge of shame that our veterans are brought home from these wars and treated in such a disgraceful manner. And he even goes on in that article to say about how they talk about them almost as if they're criminals. And that is something that kind of sticks in my craw also. We have, I think at last count, somewhere around 60-some thousand veterans on the street homeless, and you just threw $300 billion at the VA and people still aren't getting the care they need. What's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with this?
It's been broke for a long time. It's been broke since it was created.
Yes.
since Warren Harding. You know, the first VA scandal, the contractors were stealing the money. the president's buddy was getting money from a contract.
Yep. Yes. And, you know, Sean, the other thing is, too, you when you look at all of this, this gets back to when people enlist and sign up and everything. And you remember when Obama came out with that thing and he wanted veterans to pay for their health care? And he said, after all, they knew what they were signing up for. Well, yeah, but see, part of that contract you had them sign said that if they came home and they were wounded, sick, needed help, you'd be there and it would be free medical care. You would take care of them in lieu of that service they provided you. They put their life on the line for you. And that is the last thing that actually happens. We're dealing with people, Sean, that have had open cases with the VA going back 25, 30 years. Hang on here. We've got a caller, Sean.
That didn't happen. That didn't happen with Obama. That actually all of that started under George W. Bush when they started revamping the VA. They made a promise to all of us that serve that for your service you would get free health care for life.
Yes.
Well, George Bush and them somehow tied it to your earnings, how much money you make.
Yes.
I saw
Obama make that statement about they knew what they were signing up for. It just infuriated me, but you are absolutely right. This actually started under Bush Cheney, and this was, I think, the first heads up that they actually were going to come after the veterans, which is what they're doing. We've got a caller on here. Hang on a second. And I think I know who this is. Area code 571. You're live and on the air.
This is Chauncey.
Hey, Chauncey. How you doing?
This is Chauncey. I'm fine.
Yes.
I was listening to y'all, and on that topic, you talking about Obama. He spoke at the, it was March 9th, 2009, at the Baltimore, Maryland Naval Yard. That audio was submitted in our class action in 2012.
Wow.
And a few weeks afterwards, it was removed from the White House website. And he, as you see today with Mulvaney and all of them, he changed his speech and removed the thing from the website.
Uh-huh.
He said he didn't say it, and all the same as you see him with the government right now.
Yes.
Related to Trump.
Well, I had seen him when that broadcast came out, when they were showing it, it was on C-SPAN. And when he made that speech,
I don't want to tie this issue to a president, or to a party, because it's not political. The VA's been screwed up on the Republicans. It's been screwed up on the Democrats. So it's not a political issue as to what president or what. It's been screwed up under all of them, and it's still not fixed. So let's get off of what political party was or who did what.
No, I'm not on a party. I'm not discussing party. Sean, I've always wanted to talk to you. I've been following you for a long time. I'm not about party, because that's nothing but deception. Mm-hmm. That's why we're in the rut we're in now. It is somewhat political, but it's that 1%. That is controlling everything. They don't want veterans to get their money. They don't want no whistleblowers.
Right.
They don't like. You did what you did was courageous. And with every other whistleblower, I'm considered a whistleblower because my complaint was given to Chuck Grassley, and I called his office and they told me they'll get back to me. I haven't heard a word from them since, and that was in 2010.
Wow.
No, so we have to figure out a way how to come together and be heard.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're not going to do it for us.
Wow.
They're not going to do it for us.
And if it wasn't for people like Sean who have come out, and Sean, you have also, If it wasn't for people like Sean, the public wouldn't. Yeah. The public wouldn't know anything.
No, no. That's why they attacked the whistleblower. Even like you said, even after Sean left the office, they targeted him. It's called targeted individual.
Yes. Yes.
They targeted him. They target you. Your phone is tapped. Your house is entered if you're not careful and put a security system in. And you don't know what these people are capable of doing because they're doing it. Even when you walk away from it.
Yep.
You are public enemy number one. You're political enemy number one.
Yep.
The key is how do we... We're right now seeing something right now coming right before our eyes with this impeachment. You have to look at it because we're involved in it. We're right in the middle of this. I just got mad with a friend of mine for posting the whistleblower a picture of who they think is a whistleblower. The American people are so dumbfounded to this because of party politics.
Right.
And political rhetoric that they put this man's life out there.
Yep.
Yeah, the sad part about it is it's all right now. It's all he say, she say, because nothing's been actually put out. No one can actually tie this to the president. Actually said, hey, I want this. Everybody's talking about he might have, or we thought he was. So that's what's got to come out. And in the meantime, the whistleblower is the guy whose career is over with. All because what he reported, what he thought was wrong, was something that was wrong. Now, what I don't get is these senators and these congressmen coming out saying, hey, we got to know it doesn't protect that what he disclosed. It's all that protects his job. Well, we're looking at the president had some rhetoric. The president had some rhetoric, or there was some rhetoric a few years ago where a congressman got shot at a softball game. So you never know what people would do. What kind of environment you create?
But we got politicians that are in the election. You're
asking federal employees who take their oath serious. You have an obligation as a federal employee. All federal employees have the duty to report wrongdoing. It doesn't say I gotta investigate this, I gotta go look and see if this is true. It says if you know of wrongdoing, you have a duty to report it. It doesn't say you better go investigate and find out if that's true. You can be held accountable for it. No, it says if you normally have knowledge of wrongdoing, you have a duty to report it to up your chain of command.
And the other part of that is too that if they find something blows up at a later date. And they think that you could have known or should have known that this was occurring and didn't report it, you can be held liable right along with the people who actually did the deed. So the employee is stuck either way.
That's a misinterpretation that a lot of people have. You can be held accountable if you did not perform your duty to report it. If you were paying it, they can't come back and say, hey, look, well, you know, Sean knew about this, but he didn't say nothing about it. Oh, yes, I did. Hey, I wrote such and such, and I told such and such this. Now, it's not my obligation to find out whether they decided. I'm not like that. Most employees are not like me. They're not going to take it the next step and find out, hey, you know, what actually did y'all find out about that?
Yeah.
That's not the obligation of the employee. The obligation of the employee is, hey, look, somebody told me such and such that they was doing this. I don't know that they're doing it or what, but it was told to me, and I'm telling you because I know that that is wrong.
Right.
That's what the employee's obligation is. And he cannot be held to anything once he's done that.
No.
Right.
No,
but
they,
if they
and,
don't
and
do it, that's what I'm saying.
So for the president of the United States and for John, mm-hmm. for Ron Paul to come on television and tell these folks,
yeah.
hey, look,
yeah.
we need to
yeah.
know this guy's name. Print this
yeah.
guy's
yeah.
name.
Right.
That guy only did what his duty, what his oath of office required him to. That's all.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is this. You got politicians. This is all about reelection. This is all about the Republican Party wanting to stay
yeah.
in office. They once they sign in and they that first day behind the desk, they jump in. They shift into reelection mode.
There you go back to politics. You go back to Republican and Democrats. This ain't about the Republicans and it ain't about the Democrats. It's about a man who became president that should have never been in the White House. That should have never been there.
Yeah.
We all know it.
Okay.
We all know it. Everyone right now knows when they first mentioned what they alleged that the president did, no one thought that, hey, he didn't do that.
Right.
No one thought that. They thought, well, hell, that sounds like something Donald Trump would do. No one thought that, oh no, he didn't do that.
The thing is, if they can get away with this without this whistleblower, they can get away with it. They're going to fall back on this every time they target another whistleblower. Well, they did it when the president, blah, blah, blah. They're going to use this as an example. They're going to hammer this to death and drag this guy out regardless of the cost to him. And then turn around and say, well, it was all right when it was done to the president, so it must be okay now.
This guy is through. His career is over with in the intelligence committee. Who else going to trust him? He told on the president.
Yeah.
They call it snitching on the president. But look, he had an oath of office. He's not snitching on the president. He had an oath to protect the United States, not
the
president. The
American people. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not a personal issue.
Exactly.
It's an obligation.
But put yourself in that other position. Presidents and people in power want people around them that they can trust that will keep their secrets.
Right. There you go.
So with them being in the intelligence community, no one would ever trust them around.
The question is,
you know,
where do we go from here? Because we don't
yeah.
want to lose the Whistleblower Act. Where do we go from here?
Well, the
where
whistleblower,
do we go to
the,
protect
the Whistleblower Act has been in place since the 1700s. If they enforce it, you can write all the new rules you want. If you don't enforce anything, it don't mean crap. That's what the problem
yeah.
has been.
Yeah.
The problem has been they don't enforce anything. Not one person. We know that veterans have died. We know that there was a wait list. We know that people caused this. We know all this. But have anyone gone? Have they made an example? Have they seen anyone gone to jail? They made an example
no.
out of
no.
Bill Cosby. Tell me somebody that
exactly.
they made an example at the VA.
Yeah.
Nobody I know.
Yeah. I still firmly believe this is allowed to operate at this low level because, see, they're gradually pushing this privatization. And once they totally privatize the VA, if you think healthcare is bad now there, now we're going to be, because now
yeah,
it's going to be totally profit driven. And they don't care. It's how much money can we make off of you?
Marty is already profit driven.
Yeah, it is.
The VA is already profit driven.
It's a cash cow.
But it'll become far worse. Become far worse. Because then you'll see just exactly in the VA what happened with national health care. The costs will go through the roof.
I just asked the question, why does everybody think that it would get worse if they did away with VA and gave veterans the freedom to go where they want to go? How is that hurting anything?
I'm not talking about that. Sean, I'm not talking about that. I think that's a good idea. You should be able to go to whatever doctor you want to and get the care that you find. But see, what they'll do is they'll do like with Medicare, and there'll be these massive co-pays, massive, you know, co-this, co-that, co-something. We don't cover this, and we won't cover that. And that's what'll happen if they go that route. As it is now, they're still not getting the care, so, you know, it's six of one, a half dozen of the other. Which way are you going to go? If they go to a private insurance for the veterans and get rid of the VA, it would save us $300 billion in keeping this monolith operating the way it does. Or we can spend $300 billion actually trying to provide health care to the veterans. The thing that really bothers me here is the crux of everything is the veterans. And instead of worrying about, are they healthy? Are we taking good care of them? Look at all the money we're spending. They're trying to figure out how to make more money off them, which would be the best way to profit off of them.
What their argument to keep VA is that in the private sector, when I go to the doctor, they only are concerned with what my chief complaint is. Whereas if as a veteran, when I go to see my primary care doctor, my doctor's looking at the total care of me. Everything I got a problem with, he addresses there. That's the only difference between VA care and private care. When I go to my private doctor, my private doctor's not looking at the total care. He's there for the specific reason I'm there to see him for. I'm there for an ailment. He's there to treat that ailment. Whereas when I go into VA, the doctor's asking me, "Well, Sean, how are you doing today? Can you tell me what's been going on with you?" And he gets a whole medical history. You get a complete history. And it used to be until they started privatizing and sending stuff out and contracting stuff out. It used to be where you could go to the VA and get everything done at that VA. I didn't have to go see Joe, throat specialist. I could go right there to the VA, and Joe, throat specialist, was there. That's what's happening. That's what's happening with VA. I personally would like to see them do away with VA healthcare and keep the research side.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It's just the underlying core problem is that healthcare in any circumstance in this country is not good. We're ranked, I think, 53rd in the world,
until you take the money out of healthcare, it's going to continue to be a problem.
Yeah, and there was you could not profit from health care until 1971. You couldn't be in that field with the intention of profiting.
Most of the doctors were 70 or 80 years old before they got out of debt from going to medical school. So they wanted to do something about that. So
yeah.
And then some legal mind decided that they wanted to let the pharmaceutical companies and the medical companies get in bed and prices went crazy from there.
Yeah. Yep. I just think it's unfortunate. This is just the idea. See, and I keep thinking about these veterans, the ones that are actually committing suicide. I've heard people say to me, well, you know, they just need to come home and pick up their lives. And this is always from people that never put a uniform on. And,
yeah.
You know, I've said to many people, you know, these people do this thinking they're defending this country. And I said, and we send them into hell. And then we bring them home and expect them to go on like nothing happened. And you can't be subjected to that kind of horror. You can't be subjected to doing things that you ordinarily would not. We have a natural inhibition, most of us, against taking another life. And yet they are forced to do things that most of us, even on a really bad day, wouldn't even consider. And they're forced to do it day after day after day. I've brought up several times before about when we bombed Baghdad, and they were showing it on TV as if it was some national sport. And people were cheering and yelling where I was at. And I started crying. And I said, don't you understand? There's men, women, and children on the receiving ends of those bombs that have done not a damn thing to us. And you're cheering?
Yeah.
And, you know, but this is the mindset of the public. That this is okay, but to send somebody into this and bring them back and expect them to just go on like nothing happened, for most of them, or many of them, let me put it that way, it's just not possible. But go ahead.
The people never liked war. And the fact is this, there's nothing the public is going to do as far as taking our side. To get things right, because it shouldn't have never been that you enlist to a war, go over there and do the things you do and come back and there's nothing in place to minister to you, to your needs mentally and physically. Especially when people, even regular citizens, you scratch their car, they're ready to kill you.
Yeah.
So can you imagine how this man feels coming home to his family? I mean, we used to sing this song, Johnny's Away, and so-and-so's home playing with his wife as a cadence. And I never can understand why we were singing the song. Because that came when you go home and your wife then took the kids and left. And you come home wounded, mentally, physically, and you walk in, come home, and there's no home. But yet they take you out that house. And only thing you got when you leave there is that monthly $700 check. And your only thing going to happen is if you don't come home, is your family going to get $100,000. What happens with taking that father, that mother out of that two-income home? They don't do nothing then, and they don't do nothing when they come home.
Oh.
They use us. The profiteers, these are profiteers. These are people already with billions of dollars, just sucking up all the money they can at our expense.
Exactly.
It's wrong.
Well, this is what, you know, Sean was talking about. You don't see anybody going to jail. You don't see anybody being brought up on any charges. You don't see anything. Nothing happens.
No.
He reported, Sean, how many times did you actually report on the Memphis VA and got it on the news and everywhere else?
60 straight months.
Huh?
Duval.
60 straight months. 60 straight months I kept the Memphis VA in the news. Every month for 60 straight months. That's 5 years.
And what changed, John?
Nothing. The hospital, the Brooklyn hospital.
Wow. Too many Christmas. But, I was joking with somebody about you. They were talking about the VA and about getting discharged. I said, they need to call Sean. I said, Sean made a career out of getting hired and fired by the VA. And I said, they kept trying to get rid of him. He kept coming back. And I think that had to have actually irked a lot of people when you outgamed them. Because these people actually operate with impunity. You know, one of the things you brought up, Sean, you reported one time, I believe it was you, about finding more than $1 million worth of equipment sitting still in the crates?
Yeah.
And did they ever do anything about that?
Nothing. Never heard it. You know, that was another thing we were talking about, and with this VAOIG report that just came out, that with the system. You got so many different areas that you can report things to. And when you report them, no one ever follows up and says, hey, you know, what if I decided, hey, I wanted to call back and say, hey, you know, whatever, what you guys ever do about that? There's no tracking system in place for them to even tell you, hey, you know, what the status of what was going on.
Right.
But I wanted to get into this VAOIG report that actually came out. And basically what they were talking about is that that they created this office to protect whistleblowers, and they really didn't protect them.
No.
And they actually ended up investigating.
the whistleblowers. Yes.
Yeah. And this was an example of one of the cases they were talking about. They said in June 2018, the Office of Whistleblower Accountability, Office of Whistleblower Protection investigated allegations that a police officer, GS6, used excessive force against a patient. The allegation was investigated at the request of the former executive director and secretary of the VA. The VA OAW did not substantiate the allegation.
Wow.
And nothing else was done on it. It wasn't forwarded on for criminal investigation or nothing. Now, mind you, that office, those people that were doing these investigations are not investigators.
Okay, what are they?
So that was another thing they were saying. No, they're not criminal investigators. I may do an investigation. If you tell me something is of criminal nature, I'm supposed to forward that on to the proper authority, and that officer was found guilty of not doing that.
Misprison of felony.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they.
In
so who's supposed to do it?
It's case
okay,
here. The Office of Whistleblower Accountability investigated subject matters that should have been referred. This act requires that the OAWP refer a whistleblower disclosure for investigation to the Office of Medical Inspector, the Office of Inspector General, or other investigative entities as appropriate. As the Assistant Secretary had reason to believe that whistleblower disclosures received by the Office of Whistleblower Accountability and Protection is evidence of a violation of provision of law, mismanagement, gross waste of funds, abuse of authority, substantial and specific danger to public health and safety. Unless such a disclosure falls within the OAWP statutory authority to investigate, it should be referred to other investigative entities as appropriate. When the matter involves a felony, it must be referred to the OIG, and good practice will refer any possible crime to the OIG for investigation. Some allegations of potential crimes not referred to the OIG. That's in the report. So that means that, hey,
yes.
if I reported something to my supervisor, and my supervisor decided that they were going to do the right thing and they reported it, well, when it got to the Office of Whistleblower Accountability, that they neither protected the whistleblower, nor did they refer it up to see whether it was true. Or it never got investigated. So basically, the office was a data mine.
Right.
Can I ask
you
a question, Sean?
Yes.
All right. Like you said, if you report it to the OIG, or to your supervisor, and they reported to office. See, that's what you just said. It was it's like a place just to harbor the complaint. Because
that's
all technicality. Huh?
That's all it was. They spent $31.5 billion the first 2 years of his existence.
Yeah.
They've been in office almost three years.
Yeah. Because what are they doing with the money?
That's a question, isn't it? Where did the money go? And if it wasn't being used for the purpose it was designated for, and it's gone,
no.
Where did the money go?
Misappropriation of funds. Because when you report to that supervisor is supposed to report it to the OIG. And when the OIG is supposed to go out and get that report that you just read from, the next stop is supposed to be the Department of Justice.
That's correct.
But it never gets there.
No.
And nobody's held accountable for it not getting there.
No. Because,
Marty,
what's taking place, in my belief, the Department of Veterans Affairs don't fall up under Title 18. They fall up under statutes and Code of Federal Regulations.
Yes.
It comes to that bad legislation that's in
place.
They fall
up under the executive branch of government.
the laws that govern them is Title 38 and 38 CFR, Code of Federal Regulations. They don't fall up under criminal law, which is Title 18.
Oh, yes, they do.
Right.
Oh, yes, they do.
Once in a blue moon.
Five USC is a criminal statute.
Once in a blue moon, you will see a case. Like recently, I just seen one. You don't see it like you see robberies and crime. Crime is crime. You don't pick and choose what's worse or what's good until it goes to court. And those people are tried for crime.
It's what DA chooses to call selective prosecution.
Yeah.
I got an employee who retired. Her husband got a kidney transplant on the VA. He was not a veteran. You know how much a kidney transplant on the government costs? Listen at me.
Wow.
I got a veteran. His wife worked in the business office. Her husband was not a veteran. He got a kidney transplant on the VA. To the tune of $300,000.
How did that happen?
It happened because a group of doctors and a group of administrators decided to let this happen. But anyway, she was allowed to quietly retire. And listen, her husband got the kidney transplant. Everything went through fine. He ended up living 5 or 10 years later and died. And how they caught her was she tried to collect the death benefit, and her husband was never a veteran.
Oh, for God's
sake. Wow.
Please.
Wow.
What, the kidney wasn't enough, huh? Holy crap.
She went back and put her hands back in the cookie jar.
But check this out. They never did anything to the woman. They let the woman retire and quietly covered everything up. But the veteran who stole $500,000, who stole $500 in petty cash, they gave him 5 years in prison.
Yeah.
Well, imagine that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it just gets worse by the day. With all these men and women that are coming home now from overseas, and we've got, as last I understood, 78 armed conflicts going on all around the globe that most of the public knows nothing about, we're not supposed to know about, and we've got all these veterans coming back. They're wounded, mentally, physically wounded, and to face this system that, from what I can see, is absolutely has no intention of taking care of them, has no intention of doing right by them, and we're throwing, according to Sean, $300 billion a year at this monster. At what point does the public say enough?
In all of these issues, I keep waiting.
Go ahead.
And Marty, they're limited now. The veterans today are not like the veterans when I served. If you got something that was wrong with you, they got a deadline. I think it's 3 years after you get out, you gotta declare a medical a medical problem 3 years after you get out. If you don't, after that 3 years, you're kind of out there. So, just think about it. It may take 3 years before it even manifests or shows itself.
Well, it's like the Vietnam veterans. My first husband was subject to this. He was just here in the last 10 years, finally allowed to establish a claim for the diabetes caused by Agent Orange. It's a particular type of diabetes.
They've known all along that the Agent Orange was a byproduct of the Agent Orange. They've known that.
Yeah. We're seeing the effects of Agent Orange in the grandchildren of some of the grandchildren of these men and women. And my brother, of course, died from Agent Orange back in 2001. And they do this stuff. See, this is what really irks me in all of this. The military, when you sign up for the military, you don't have any choices about anything. You're given these vaccines. They test biological weapons on them many times, gases, this, that, something else. They know damn well this stuff is going to make these guys sick. If it doesn't show up today, it's going to show up tomorrow. And they're watching them to see what does surface, what does happen, what did this do to them overall. And Agent Orange, I think, was the biggest example of this. The effects of this took sometimes years to actually manifest. Not that this stuff wasn't working in their bodies. One of the things they noted, like with veterans of Vietnam, was that the children, there was in that group of families, the children many times had deformities. And they finally figured out that the dioxin collected in men's testes. And so when they impregnated a woman, they transferred the Agent Orange to her. So let's jump now to the first Gulf War, where they used depleted uranium when all of our soldiers came home with what they called Gulf War sickness. And they said, oh, they're faking. They're just a bunch of pussies. They're just this. They're just that. They're just. And then it finally came out. They had sprayed them with depleted uranium to see what the effect was. Now, gee, I wonder what that's going to do. And so they do this stuff, all this covert stuff, and then they tell these guys, you can't talk about this. Why not? You did it to me.
Yeah.
Why can't I talk about it?
Yeah.
Vaccines. They test vaccines on them all the time.
Marty.
Vaccines.
Marty, that's the history. Yeah,
yes.
I tell you a good movie to see. A good movie to see is called Hole in the Head. It's about a guy. He died. He was in his 80s when he died. But at 5 years old, the government was testing the effects. The government was testing the effects of radiation on kids, children. In school.
Yes. Yes.
Your government. And he says he remembers vividly. You know, the lady says, "Oh, we gave that one too much."
Yep. Well, this is what they did up here in the Upper Midwest. In the 1950s, they took all those indigenous children, which they have done routinely, is snatch their kids away from them, from the tribes, and they experimented with X-rays on them. And massive, massive doses of X-ray multiple times in a day, and then they died. Gee, I wonder what from. But I had been contacted by some veterans, apparently they were Army, that were stationed up in the Arctic, and these guys are suffering from all kinds of bizarre things, but they have talked about being subjected to being put in rooms and gases tested on them. They were given vaccines, and one thing I found out too is that when you get a vaccine in the military, they don't have to keep a record of that, especially if it's experimental. And I went back to the DOJ under Rumsfeld, 2003. He changed the DOD regulations that said that they do not have to give informed consent And even if what they did to you, you find out about later, they don't have to admit to anything. And that they are not limited to just the military. They can experiment also on minorities and pregnant women. And they cannot be held accountable. I wrote about this extensively, was screaming my head off about it, and everybody yawned and said, change the station. And but this is what's happening. Our military are used as lab rats. There is no telling what all these people were actually subjected to, because apparently there's no records or none that you can find. And then to treat them this horrendously at these hospitals, and believe me, that hospital knows more about what was done to you than you will ever know.
It's in the database.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It's in the database.
And,
it stays in the database.
Yeah. Yep. And where is that database at? One of the things they did, we found this out dealing with USDA, but this is over 10 years ago, when they were arbitrarily signing farmers up to premises ID, which was a conveyance of title of property to the USDA acting as agent for the feds. And farmers caught on to this, said no, they signed them up anyway. When we tried to get the records for that, they said there aren't any. And then we found out that John Podesta had set up an Oracle database in Canada, and they were storing the records there, and said that because they're not on American soil, they're not available to FOIA. Well, now they have changed it. So if you try to FOIA information and they say there's no records, or they give you the excuse it's not being held on American soil and there it's not available to FOIA, if they can reach those records or anyone in that office from their desk, it's available to FOIA. And they have got to produce them. Somewhere there is a database of what all they have done. You can't look at the illnesses all these veterans are suffering from. I mean, bizarre things that they are suffering from. This is a result of what was done to them, what was experimented on with them. And they're hiding all of this information and watching these guys fall apart. In the meantime, you've got this agency, this VA administration, that is absolutely a catastrophe from one end to the other. And yet nobody seems willing to actually want to fix it. Now we have to figure out why. Why? Why would you blow this kind of money on something that is this dysfunctional? Sean?
I got no idea.
Yes. I don't either. I can't figure it. I can't figure the logic in it, John. I can't.
A friend of mine, his name is Phil Cushman. I talked to you about him on. He hits the nail on the head. He says that he calls them profiteers. Those are the contractors, the big contract, war contractors and stuff like that there. They're controlling everything. You know, the politicians, he said, in his belief, he says he doesn't believe we have a government anymore. That the government, the government is controlled. Yeah.
Yes.
No. Yeah. It's controlled by the 1%, the rich. And
yes.
It's set up that they create the war so they can put it. It's like you enlist. The enlistment is like a closed contract. When you enlist, everything goes, it's in that database. The only ones have access to that database is the agencies that you're going to become in contact with, but you are not allowed to get the information. That's where FOIA comes into play. No, you're not. We have a lot of soldiers. There's a young lady, Barbara Wright, out of Portland. Her husband just died, Joe Dunigan. He was in Korea on a special operations, and he messed up his back. That's 55 years ago. For the last 53 years, he was fighting to try to get benefits, but he couldn't get the records because they were classified, being classified because the operation was an illegal operation. And if he get records, it'll open up a can of worms. Boom, the man came up with a mysterious cancer disease and he passed away. Me and her talk right now, because just as you were speaking, it just reminded me I got to talk to her because she wants me to help her get. She got an answer from the Department of Army, and they didn't say they won't give her the records. But what I told her, don't even ask for the records. Just ask for a waiver so you could apply for spousal benefits because they're not going to give you no documents that's going to prove them guilty.
Right.
They're not going to give it to no. They're not going to give it to no family member. This stuff, like I told Phil earlier today, this stuff is so. You think I have a problem? When I listen to other people's problems, I forget my problem. When I listen to a daughter about a daughter whose father came home and had sex with the mother, and it transferred, she got pregnant, and the baby was born with this stuff, this disease, and the
yes.
father dies and the mother dies off, and the child can't even get benefits.
Yep. Right.
You know, this stuff hurts.
Yep.
It's painful. And it makes you wonder.
And
like
the thing
you
is,
your question, what is going on?
Yeah.
I don't have the answers.
Yeah,
I don't think any of us have the real answers. But it's something sinister. It's something very
yes.
dark.
Yep.
It's very, very dark.
And you can't have this many people. And Sean, with all of the outing he did of just this one hospital, and yet nothing has changed. Nothing has changed there?
No.
I mean, how many times do you have to report and catch them red-handed?
They targeted him. They targeted
yes.
him because he stood up. That's what changes.
Yep.
That's the only change that comes in into play.
Yeah.
They look at you like
yeah,
you, like you an alien.
yeah. Sean got in trouble one time for telling somebody their hair smelled good. It was sexual harassment, wasn't it, Sean?
In other words, they didn't want
yeah.
Sean to open his mouth. You keep your damn mouth closed.
Yeah,
man.
He got sexual harassment. I'll tell you what, if that's all it takes to file sexual harassment charges, I had a man tell me one day for a woman my age, I looked really good, so I need to file charges against him. It just, you know, the ludicrousness of this stuff. That they actually
yeah,
would
yeah.
have accepted this, you know, Sean, as a legitimate complaint. It wasn't like you said, your hair smells good, and boy, I'd like to put my hands in it and jerk you around. You know, you didn't do that. You paid the lady a compliment. You know what I'm saying. You paid her a compliment, and this is sexual harassment. I don't view it that way. You compliment me anytime you want to. Just have at it. I'll sit and listen all day and say thank you. But this is how desperate they are to find something wrong with what you do. And Sean, didn't they insert fake stuff into your file too, didn't they? Documents.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They put a fake restraining order in my employee file.
Yeah.
A what?
Yeah.
They put a fake restraining order in my employee file.
Wow.
Yeah, no order had been filed and they put one in there as if it had. And but see, I hear this all the time, that stuff is inserted into these files. They access your personal medical records. People that aren't supposed to be in
yeah,
it will access it and get information out of it. And I want to know what people are looking at your medical record for. What is it that's there that would be of interest to them? And I really am always curious about that. What is in there? And I think, too, one of the veterans I have talked with extensively said he finally, through FOIA, and just basically nonstop bugging him till he got his own medical record complete with notes. And he was absolutely shocked at the crap the doctor had inserted into his file that had no basis in fact. This crazy stuff that was put into his file. And then what saved him, because they, of course, well, you know, if the doctor said it, you probably weren't aware. And, you know, simply blah, blah, blah. And what saved him was, unfortunately, there was a little note included at the bottom of one paper in there somebody forgot to get rid of that said, this should do it. I've put enough in here to make him look like a raving lunatic. And that is all that saved. Now they're quietly trying to settle with him. And I told him, I said, don't go out quietly. I said, make them settle anyway, and but expose this, because this is what they do. And I think that bothers me, too. These doctors will go along with this.
Yeah.
You know, the days of first do no harm are long gone. It's first let's make a buck. And so and I always advise people, whenever you go to the doctor, you make them give you a copy of the day's report. And because things get altered, lost, deleted, redacted, this is taken out, that's taken out, and it may be the only thing. And now that we've got all these federal agencies, we're just given the green light here about 4 months ago, they can start clearing their files, purging their files that are 7 years or older. And basically what they're doing is getting rid of evidence. This is what they're doing, and this advances each year, going back 7 years. So it's like, you know, they started immediately. Even the Library of Congress said it had to prove. Well, they just didn't have room. Everything's digital. What the hell are you talking about? You don't have room. And but they're getting rid of information. They're getting rid of things that could conceivably be used to show wrongdoing, fraud, waste, abuse. All sorts of things. They're getting rid of it. And there again, I don't believe that anything is actually being thrown away. It's being stored somewhere else. And yeah. They're not telling you where that somewhere is. But I don't know. Sean, what do you see ahead on the horizon for all of this? Anything?
It's going to tie to what's going to happen this week. And the impeachment and how they treat this whistleblower.
Yeah. And I say my thoughts are that if they get away with outing this guy, this is going to be used as precedent to do the same
Correct.
Thing to everybody. Well, we did it to the president, and this is why I think they're really pushing this.
Well, Marty, what will happen is no one will tell them anything. No one will come forward.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It'll have a dampening effect.
Yes.
And I just don't see any good coming out of this at all. And why should you? Yeah, it just gets into a lot of questions I can't even think about. Okay. So we have to figure out where we are now. What can we do next, if anything? And how can we hold these people accountable? I mean, seriously, when all these internal agencies are dysfunctional and basically just obstacles to the veteran, did he get any kind of justice or the whistleblower, then where do we go?
If they find you guilty of criminal neglect in the private sector, you go to jail, you go to prison. Same thing should be for the government.
Exactly. But what they do in these agencies do, we've seen this in several, like Forest Service, Tony Took, when he was accused by 26 women of sexual harassment and molestation, he stood up and said he just did not have time to respond to all these accusations. And they let that man resign. Yeah. They let him resign so he could keep all his federal benefits. Instead of firing him on the spot, they let him resign so he could keep his benefits.
What I've learned since I started this process is that once they completed the number of years to retire, They just let them retire. They just let them quietly go away.
Yeah.
So you do all this bad, and then they catch you, and then only thing they do is just quietly go away.
Yeah. Well, and that happened here in Minnesota last year. We had the Health and Human Services Commissioner was allowed to resign with I think it was 26,000. uninvestigated nursing home complaints. And he was allowed to resign, keep all his benefits. The new guy comes in, and he said they have cleaned all that up. What that basically meant was is they made a big trip to the trash bin and threw all the complaints away. And this is how it works in the government. You know, if you did this, if you purged your files and threw everything away and said, well, I threw everything away, so now it doesn't matter. You couldn't get away with that.
No.
You couldn't get away with that. And why are these people allowed to get away with it? And, John, another thing that bothered me, like in your case, is the willingness of other VA employees, instead of having your back and backing you up because you know they saw the same things you did, they turned on you.
Well, I can't say that the employees turned on me. It was the management that turned on me more so. The employees had gotten to the point where they had gotten to the point where they saw what they did to me. So no one was willing to.
Yeah.
No one was willing to do anything, and it put me in a predicament because people would come and tell me things.
Right.
So there we go back to my oath of my office that if I know of wrongdoing, I have a duty to report this. It doesn't say, hey, that this is actually going on. No, somebody came to me who I thought might have been reliable. I took it a little further because I thought they were out to try to get me. So I started to vet some of the things.
Yes.
So this was the agency using it as a way to try to discredit me, because as a whistleblower, they only remember what you lied about. They don't remember the 90 other things that you told that was the truth. They only remember the one you told that wasn't. So
it put me
in a position where I felt like I had to vet these because it had to do so much with my credibility. And then, you know, I'm looking at, hey, if I don't report this, or I don't tell somebody this, they set me up.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So. That's what I'm saying. You can't win either way. And fortunately for all of us, there's people like you, Sean, and you, Chauncey, that regardless of the repercussions, step up and do the right thing. You'd think that people like you that had integrity and character would be appreciated, but unfortunately, you are not. And this is the unappreciation comes from people who are committing the crimes. And as you know, I think about these administrators and everything else walking into their job every day, knowing that they are shortchanging these veterans, they're screwing them, that things are not what they should be, and yet this seems not to bother them. Why do they have a job? I want to know why they have a job.
Marty, I've been asking the question for the last, for probably the last 4 to 6 months. Brandon Coleman, who the Office of Whistleblower Accountability, he was a crowded whistleblower, you know. He's on the Fox News and all this, and saying all of, you know, all this about the VA. And now we come out and we find out the Office of Whistleblower Accountability says, hey, you know what we said this guy was doing, he was doing, and the guy still works for the VA. So, I keep asking the question, what are you calling accountability about? Because for the life of me, how has this guy still got a job? If we know that he targeted whistleblowers, and we know for a fact that he did some criminal things, and he violated the Privacy Act, we know for a fact. So how is this guy still got a job?
Yeah.
Who's that you talk about, Sean?
Yeah.
Brandon Coleman.
Yeah, remember his statement. I'll clean toilets. That's how he got the job. He made that public statement.
Yep.
I'll clean toilets.
Yep.
Well, he ain't cleaning toilets, and he still got a job, and he was doing Peter O'Rourke's dirty work.
It was outlined in a letter written to Congress that they were the ones that sought out whistleblowers because he was a whistleblower. Well, it later came out this guy was never a whistleblower. He just used whistleblower to keep his job.
Oh my God! Damn. So all that stuff that he, because he was on my show years ago, talking about the Arizona.
It was later determined in this Office of Whistleblower Accountability. Michael Volpe did a story on it, and he talked about, you know.
Yeah, I know he did.
In the research that he did, the guy who was a management specialist, when Brandon Coleman came to him and told him about, you know, he determined that he really wasn't a whistleblower, that he was blowing the whistle to save his job.
Wow.
And that the actions that they were trying to take against them were in fact justified. So that leads us to they give this guy the job in the Office of Whistleblower Accountability, and they find out that, you know, that this guy's targeting whistleblowers and all this, and the secretary of the Office of Whistleblower Accountability, Dr. Bonzano, basically says, okay, well, we know that he was doing this, you know, but the guy still has a job working for the federal government.
Wow. That's disgusting. And, you know, I met him maybe 3 years ago at the summit, and, you know, he was being touted as this big VA whistleblower, and this is such a terrible betrayal. It is such a terrible betrayal, and that he's done this to people. And but I still, behind all of this, there is a reason this runs like it does. And I for the life of me can't figure out what that reason is.
Money.
Why would you allow this?
Money. It's all cash. It's all about the cash. It's all about the cash. I've had conversations where when they allocate that funding out, huh?
Yeah.
Now granted you Brandon Coleman is represented by GAP, Government Accountability Project.
Really?
That's who represented him. And that's who currently represents him.
Wow.
It's all about money.
I understand that he got a six-figure settlement in the first case. So, you know, it was, you're correct, it was about the money.
Yeah. Wow. And most whistleblowers, and that's something, and CBS has been running that series on whistleblowers. I don't know if they still have it out, but they are intentionally seeking out whistleblowers who got supposedly got a cash settlement. And there have been maybe 1 or 2% of all whistleblowers that ever see a dime of anything. And the way that works is if you, like in Sean's case, where he is outed this squandering of money and this, all of this carrying on, and it's costing the government money. They recover from the agency or the individuals, like, say, for instance, $2 million. Let's use that hypothetically, $2 million in fraudulently spent funds or whatever. The whistleblower gets 10% of that. So in this case, they would get $200,000. Okay, but they don't actually get that. Yeah. They don't actually get that 10% because the attorneys will take the bulk of it. The IRS comes in and takes a big chunk of it, and they're lucky if they're left with 50 cents. But the CBS is trying to portray whistleblowers as blowing the whistle only because they're hoping to make money. It's a rare occasion any of them see a dime, a very rare occasion.
It's what my friend Marcel Reed calls QTAM cases.
Yes. Yes. And that's where you sue them. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Difference is the circumstances of treatment. When you look at the situation, whistleblowers are getting treated just like veterans.
Yes.
They get the same treatment.
Well, I made a point to a whistleblower today that, you know, that at VA, if you're a whistleblower and you speak out, you become a target.
Yeah.
You become a target of the very people that you defended this nation for. Those are the freedoms of the principles that we defended this nation for. And they're targeting the very people that provided that service.
Right. And that's it too. It's a disgraceful situation. And the thing is, this is I agree with something you said, Chauncey. We don't actually have a government anymore. What we have is corporations running everything. And they seem to be running on a different set of rules and regulations that the rest of us are. They're never responsible for anything. And if there's profit to be made, they're taking it. If there's a loss, then it's spread out on the public. And I don't know how to fix this. I wish I did. I mean, I know common sense would say do this, this, and this, and that'll take care of this. It'll hold these people accountable, put a couple of them in jail as a lesson to everybody else.
Marty.
Restitution, do whatever
Marty.
You can, but they're not going to do it. Yeah.
I'm going to say this to you and the Sean, and I'm not trying to convert y'all. This is not our problem to fix. This is God's problem.
Well,
none of us
if God was
this.
In this anywhere, it would be. But if God was in this anywhere, it wouldn't be happening.
Seeing in Washington right now is God's hand.
I don't believe that.
We have become
a nation
that don't cry. We don't pray. We do cry, but we don't pray. We don't ask for help. We try to fix. Can you imagine going to the breakfast table with a wrench and a pair of pliers in your hand to cut up your eggs? And then going to your car, you got a flat, and you try to take a butter knife and a fork to take the lug off? They have fixed this situation that it can't be fixed. Only one person can fix it. We got to get some faith.
Well, I have faith, but on the other hand, I don't allow religion or this kind of belief to enter into things because it muddies it up. We are expecting, I hear about how God's going to handle everything and various issues I deal with, and yet he never shows up. People do pray. They pray and they put it all in God's hands, and they did this and they did that, and they quote scripture and everything else, and nothing happens. I think we have probably put too much.
A lot of people are getting victories.
I'm glad if they are. I truly am. But I don't get into that, Chauncey. I don't deal in it. I don't promote it.
No, I'm not asking you to promote it. I'm asking you to understand. We can't fix this.
Yes.
This is a spiritual issue. This is evil at the highest.
Yeah.
It's not for us to fix.
Yeah.
All we can do is pray and step out.
Well,
we can continue. You continue doing what you're doing. Sean, continue doing what he's doing. We got to get together and put our minds together. See, because remember I said to you before, they don't have to go. We have a geographical disadvantage. Sean, where you at? You're in Memphis, right?
Yeah, I was.
Where you at, Marty?
Yeah. Minnesota.
Where you at, Marty? And I'm in Virginia.
Okay, I'm in Minnesota.
We operating at a disadvantage. They go in office and throw some donuts on some coffee and plan on how to mess us up. They got the advantage.
Well, I don't know. We've got veterans groups all over the. Yeah.
Keep praying.
Go ahead.
And keep fighting. Keep fighting.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
And people do. They do. People do. And but I, you know, like I say, I can't because of everything I deal with, and I hear this stuff all the time. But to me, it's an exercise in futility, and that's the way I feel about it. It produces nothing. It might make you feel better for a minute, but when you come out of that minute, it's still there. So fixing it is up to us. We just have to figure out how to fix it. I mean, I think we know the how, but the how is in.
I didn't fix my
case. And, yeah.
My faith fixed it.
But I'm just saying, you know, I'm too much of a realist to delve into that. And people say, oh, you're an atheist. No, I'm not. I just believe in handling things myself.
There's something you're
supposed pray
to
for
handle
strength. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of things this is an evil demonic issue that we're dealing with. When you have 22,
yeah,
anywhere from 22 to 40 veterans that they came on themselves, and the people that's in have the responsibility to take care of them, and they don't care, that's evil. That's demonic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they don't care because they've been told they don't have to care. We've got just a couple minutes left here. Sean, what did you have to say to wind up?
Keep your eyes on the VA. I'm hoping we're going to have another, we're going to have big next data drop. So keep your eyes out.
Okay.
Hopefully some big things are going to change here soon.
All right. Now, Sean, speak for a minute here about the Buchanan Report. I know this is another radio show that's running that deals with veterans. Can you give us a little information on that?
Yes, the Buchanan Report does a show on Tuesday nights. It's called VA Corruption. There's also a VA there's also a Facebook webpage. You can go out and view it. It's called the Buchanan Report, VA Corruption.
Okay. And that's on that's a webpage or is that on Facebook?
That's on Facebook. And there's also a webpage on Facebook.
Okay. All right. All right, we'll get the information on that posted for everybody. And, Sean, thank you for coming on again. Tell your mama I said hi. And,
all right, I sure will.
yeah, I think of her every day at lunchtime, but I do. Chauncey, thank you for calling in. We'll be back tomorrow night with our show on hospice. I want to remind everybody these shows are brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit taking place at the end of July every year in Washington, D.C. We'll be there again this next year, everybody. Thanks again,
Sean. Thank you, Marty, for what you
do. Thank you. Thank you for contributing this evening. And we will be back. Everybody have a good evening, and thank you for tuning in. Good night, everyone.